It is a wonderful thing to be with you today. And Pastor Henry, thank you for your warmth and hospitality and everyone. My wife and I, we've been serving for the last 17, 18 years as missionaries, chiefly in Africa. We started in the east, up in Kenya and Uganda, and worked our way down to South Africa. And now we're just finished at a Bible college there, where I just ended my term as a principal at the Bible college. And we have a new principal, so we're just doing the last mentoring and heading back up to Uganda again to a seminary there just outside of Kampala on Lake Victoria. And so we're mainly involved in Bible schools and in theological seminaries, chiefly in Africa, but we've also worked in Asia and a little bit in South America, in that little wee country called Suriname, if you know where that is, the old Dutch Guyana. Well, now I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, and we're going to read God's first letter to his people that's given in the Bible. The Holy Spirit has given this letter. So Jeremiah 29, and let me read at verse 1 through to verse 11 then. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surrounding surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people. Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Joachim and the queen mother, the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the artisans had gone into exile or pilgrimage from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elasa, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there and do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city in which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, I must confess to you, I am one of those strange people who enjoys letters still. And a lot of my life I have spent actually working with old letters that I find in Africa of missionaries that have long died. And I enjoy taking those old letters, trying to transcribe them, make them readable for other people, and it's amazing the stories you read. Often it's about romance. They had to leave someone behind, and then they never married that person. They married someone else. Sometimes it's about physical conditions, and often it's about spiritual pain. I find those letters absolutely amazing. And I must say, I've spent a lot of my time finding those old letters that people would like to burn and get rid of. Well, here we have in Jeremiah 29, God's very first letter in the Bible. We always go to Paul, don't we? He was the letter writer. But in the Old Testament, in chapter 29 of Jeremiah, there is this letter. And I would encourage all of us that there is one letter in the Old Testament you and I should keep going back to again and again and rereading in our homes and families. It's Jeremiah 29, because it's about living in a multicultural society. in a multi-religious society. And I think that gets very close to the direction that we're living in and proceeding towards, isn't it? A multicultural world, a multicultural, multi-religious society. God's people had left a land in which they were unified, and they were taking to a place that was completely multicultural, multi-religious in every way. Everyone didn't go to church or to temple. They went to other temples and other false religions. And that was the context that God had put them to. And what was happening was that God was taking them as pilgrims now into a strange place, and he was saying to them, you're going to have to live there in this strange land for many, many years. And I'm going to give to you four words of advice of how you're to live in this new multicultural, multi-religious country for the next several generations. I'm going to give you four words of advice, but I'm going to give you also one promise. And if you listen to my advice in my four words of advice and you hold to my one promise, you will understand the things of God in your life. You're going to be pilgrims. Well, it's Thanksgiving next week, right? You might even be talking about pilgrims. Pilgrims, the first Thanksgiving. A people who were different, who went on a journey, separated from their past, to begin life in a new land. But pilgrims always remember one thing. They're just passing through, and their real citizenship is in heaven, in the new Zion that Jesus has prepared for us. So we're not yet in the promised land. We're pilgrims on earth. But we've got four things that God is mandating us to do here. And there are more, of course. But this is what we want to focus on, these four words of advice, when we live in this multi-context of religion and culture. The first word of advice that Jeremiah is given in his letter to his people is this. Here is my advice. I want you to be pilgrims, and I want you to work. What are you to do? That's such a simple text of Scripture. I want you to build houses, run construction companies. I want you to settle down, create domestic companies, cleaning companies, etc. I want you to plant your vineyards, plant your gardens. I want you to plant fruit trees, because those fruit trees will not bear fruit for many years. So I want you to build, to settle down, plant and harvest. I want you basically to use your time wisely for the next many years of your life. I want you to become an economically sustainable people as you live in that new multi-context civilization of Babylon. Why do you want to settle down? Jeremiah is saying, because work is good. You've got to provide for yourself. I want you to be a testimony as artisans to the pagan people around you, to the other unbelievers. I want you to glorify God in the way you live and provide, and so that you can help other people as well. And you can advance all of people and society. Ah, but there are temptations. Did you have any temptations in your work this week? Were you complaining a little bit? Maybe not. But maybe that part just did not work that you took off and you put on 10 times. And you started to complain. Maybe you even became a little bitter. You know, it wasn't so bad in that other town that I lived in. It wasn't this bad in that other country that I lived in. And you know, you can start to sort of become nostalgic. Oh, if we could just go back to Judah again. If we could just go back to St. Catharines. Everything worked in St. Catharines. And you sort of become a little bitter. Jeremiah comes to you. Here's my word of advice to you. You're here now. You're going to have to stay. And you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to work and provide. And maybe you're even sitting here this morning saying, you know what? My work really isn't that significant. And I want to say to you, do not doubt the work that you do. Never say, oh, I just watch children. Oh, all I do is I just market clothes. Oh, all I do, I just stock shelves in the food bank. I just stock shelves at Foodland. I just do that. And you know what you have just done? We have all done it. You've started to say your work doesn't matter. But you know what God's letter says here in this word of advice? Your work matters for the Lord. Drop that word just and begin to see that your work matters for provision, for glory of God, for advancing and helping others and contributing, and also as a way to share your faith as a testimony. I was reading a book this week. It's an author I follow. His name is Dan Doriani. And I liked anything Dan Doriani reads, I pick it up and I read it and I review it. So I was sent this book this past couple of weeks and I started reading it. It's simply called Work, Dan Doriani. It's Purpose, Dignity, and Transformation. And he had a series of questions, and I said, I'm going to steal them, and I'm just going to preach them today for a moment. He said, appraise and evaluate your work, and ask these questions. Does my job advance a common good? Well, you know, I like going to the store and finding where I can find the tomato cans. And if the stock keeper doesn't do it, it's chaos in the store. You see, you are advancing a common good. Do I help people, or does my work actually exploit people? Am I glad to tell people what I do? Do I please the Lord as I earn my bread? Or do I merely earn my bread? There's a difference, right? Do I please the Lord as I earn my bread? And can I joyfully present my work to the Lord? That's what Jeremiah is saying. Here's my advice for you. Don't get bitter. Don't complain. Don't have nostalgia problems. See your work as significant for God and provision. You are pilgrims on earth. You've got a little time. You're not going to earn your salvation through your work. Jesus earned it for you. But you can bear the fruit of your salvation as models to society in diligence, consistency, service, and testimony. That's my first word of advice, Jeremiah says. Now, the second word of advice is our tie-in today, directly to the baptism. And the second word of advice is this. It's advice to pilgrims about their families. And you see it in verse 6. It's a very simple verse. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number and there do not decrease. There's three things that pilgrims have that are different, who are God's covenanted people. Number one, they have God's plan in marriage. What is God's plan in marriage? It's a covenanted companionship in which there is a covenant that is very special and sacred. It's about a special covenant between a man and a woman in a companionship of covenant. And it's a special relationship. It's between two believers in that relationship. It's based on Deuteronomy 7. The second mandate that you see here is this: God has a plan for covenant companionship. God has a mandate. And that mandate is this: increase and do not decrease. Increase, have children. It's good, it's honorable. It is a positive thing. In the Bible college where we're just transitioning out of right now, there's a series of lampposts on the street in our town that all are in front of our campus. And so we read what's on the campus lampposts that are on the street. And people come by and they keep on pasting these stickers on every day, it seems. We tear them off, they go back on. We tear them off, they put them back on. Bargain. R100. R is Rand. 100 in Canadian dollars is $10. Now you're ready for the next line. Bargain, R100, 10 bucks. 30-minute abortion. Call so-and-so, in and out. 30 minutes, $10, abortion. What does that say? Analyze it for a moment. It says a great deal. It says how we value children, how we value life. Do you hear the mandate of Jeremiah? Praise God for His grace and mercy to us. He covers us all in our sins, including the sin of abortion, including the guilt. But the mandate of God is to guard life, to see it as sacred, as special, as different. Now you're going to hear environmental issues. You can't have many children now because the world is about to implode probably by 2050. You might even hear that. It's over. It's coming to an end. We're in a ticking time bomb. Therefore, stop having children. I'm not going to become a politician for you this morning. I'm just going to say what the Bible says. Don't live in fear. Live in faith. Live under the mandate and receive the blessings of God. God's plan, covenant companionship. God's mandate, increase and multiply. God's will, nurture and give direction to your children in your home. You'll notice what it says there. It sounds a little different for us. It almost sounds like, oh, this is an arranged marriage operation. No, it's not quite that. Be careful how you read it. What Jeremiah is actually saying is, give parental direction in your home to your children. Fitting, of course, to the stages of their life. But it's not just laissez-faire. It's not just take your hands off and say, kid, do what you want. I don't care. It's a free world out there. And here you come back and you say, this is a covenant family in a covenant community, and we give direction. It's not a free-floating society, after all, in the covenant of the Lord. And what you see here is God's will is parental direction. Talking about issues, talking about people, talking about marriage, talking about candidates that you may want to marry one day. And there is a concept here of direction and of discipline and of nurture and of teaching the faith Now do you hear it? There's the tie-in with baptism. That's what the mandate is from God's Word. I'll admit I enjoy free things. And I was at a publishing house not that long ago, and so I picked up 200 of these bookmarks, and I've been making it my ministry, passing them out, and I'll give a few that are left to Pastor Henry. And they're simply called How to Pray for Your Child for 31 Days. I'll give them to Pastor Henry, and he can do what he wants with them. But that's part of nurture and direction. It is prayer, it is teaching, and it is direction. God's plan, God's mandate, God's will. Now, very simply, Jeremiah moves on to his third one, and he says, here's my third word of advice for you today. I'm going to give you some advice as pilgrims concerning your community and the nation. You're pilgrims in a foreign land. Your citizenship is in Zion, but you're not in Zion yet. You're still in Babylon. You're still in Huron and Bruce County. You're not quite in Zion, though you might think it's close, but it isn't actually Zion. No offense, I was born in Bruce County, so it's okay. And what you see here is something, as he speaks of it in verse 7, about the community. Seek the peace of the community, not strife and division. Don't be passive about it, but try to be an engager to bring about peace in society and community. Seek the prosperity for the community. You want to see it thrive. You want to see it increase. As it thrives and increases, you will thrive. Be active in it. Be an engager. Do not become a monk and withdraw. Enter the community. That's what it's saying. So seek its peace, seek its prosperity, and just to help you to keep them in order, the third P, seek the blessing of God through prayer on your community. What did Pastor Henry do this morning? He prayed for this community. He prayed for the whole community of Canada as it undertakes this election. And what does Paul say? As Paul says in Timothy and in Romans, Paul says much the same way. He gives us clear direction. I urge you then, first of all, that you make requests, prayers, and intercessions, and thanksgiving for Emperor Nero and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Be made for everyone. That's quite a blanket statement. Paul could not be more blanketed anywhere he writes. For kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness, this is good. Okay, let's stop right there. Let's just pray. We'll carry on from where Pastor Henry was. Let's stop and pray. Father God, we do pray about this election. We live in a multi-party state now. And there's going to be strife and there's going to be division. Maybe even in our families and even in churches at times. Politics can strain. Lord, we pray that we will keep unity in Jesus Christ as God's people above all else over party politics. And Lord, we come with assurance today that you are sovereign over Canada. And ultimately, Lord, we can say, your will be done in this election. Lord, we think there is much strife in the world. Europe and the United Kingdom are at strife right now. Lord, would you bring unity, and may it not have devastating economic impact for many people's lives who are at stake in the agricultural sector, for instance, in the United Kingdom and in Europe. We know about Brexit, Lord. We hear it. Lord, bring an end to this, that peace will reign, that the society there will prosper, and that justice will be done for all. Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. Amen. You see, God's people living in Babylon were engagers with Babylon. And so they stopped and they prayed and they tried to build peace in that community. Praise God. I see it here every time I come back. I hear it. Well, he has one more word of advice, doesn't he? And that fourth word of advice is advice to have discernment as pilgrims. Now, if you're sort of saying here, boy, this hasn't been a very spiritual sermon today. We've been talking about work. We've been talking about families and raising children. We've been talking a little bit about marriage. We've been talking now about the country and elections and politics and community involvement. This isn't very spiritual. It is spiritual. Because that's where your spiritual life hits the road. It's the rubber on the tarmac. And if you look at the fourth word of advice, you'd say, ah, now this is the spiritual one. It's talking about prophecy and dreams and the Holy Spirit. But it's actually all part of the same thing, brothers and sisters and friends. And so in verse 8 and 9, he goes on and he says, now, pilgrims, be discerning. What is discernment? You need to recognize when you've heard good teaching. And you need to recognize when you've heard some crazy teaching. You need to have some discernment. That's what he's saying. And that's all he's saying. You need to recognize what's good from what's bad and what's sort of milky, but not much meat. And he said, you know, we've got false teachers living right here in Babylon. And these false teachers are going around and they're saying this. Don't listen to Jeremiah. You're only going to be here a few months. Don't build houses. Don't take employment. Just live off each other. Don't have any children. Stop having children because it's too much work. You're going to have to put them in the cars and take them all the way back to Judah. Well, the camels. And Jeremiah said, don't listen to those teachers. Settle down, build your houses, plant your vineyards, have your children, and follow the Lord. Now, do you know any false teachers around today? I could take you to where I live and show you a few, because it's easy. They wear special white paint. Sangoma's witch doctors, but we've got a little more sophistication, don't we? We sort of say. Maybe someone has said to you, you know what? God means for every born-again Christian never to die of cancer, never to be afflicted with a disease. God means for you to have health and prosperity, because it says it right in 3 John verse 2, where it says, John said, I pray for your health and for your prosperity. You see, there it is. The Bible says it. God means me to always have good health, no aches or pains. That's a false teacher. You are to pray for your health. You're to pray for your prosperity. But God does not write you a check that says, in this fallen world, you're always going to have good health. It's lovely to think that, but it's not true. That's a false teacher. They may have a nice suit, but it doesn't mean it's true. And what Jeremiah is saying is, there are going to come along speakers and teachers who are going to be distorters of God's word. They are going to make their own disciples, and they are going to try to destroy the unity of the Spirit. Because they're not called by the Spirit. They're not appointed by God. They're distorters, and they want their own followers. And he says, pilgrims, discern what you listen to. There's the four words of advice. Now the brief promise, very quickly. Here's the promise. One day you will go back to the land of Zion. But what's that mean for a Christian? It means very simply the way Peter interpreted it in 1 Peter and his epistle. It is this, that Jesus Christ has secured the promised land of Zion for you, and he has gone ahead as the first fruits, and he is preparing the land, and he's going to take you to his promised land, but you are not there yet. But we're marching to Zion. But until we get to Zion, listen to the advice. But march with the promise. We're marching to Zion. But while we march, we work. We consider our families. We consider the community, the nation. And we discern. May God so bless you as you march to Zion and as you listen to the prophet Jeremiah. Take it up and study it. Let's pray. Father, bless these words that we have studied today from Jeremiah 29. Continue to put them on our hearts. And we thank you for every letter and every word you have made in the scripture. We thank you in Jesus. Amen.